Turn to Numbers chapter 35. Numbers chapter 35. Does anyone here this morning have any idea what chapter my next message will be from, God willing? 36 is the only one left. 36. Now, one could say, well, maybe you'll preach on 35 again. Maybe I will. I do not know yet. But I say that, and just a little brevity, it is amazing to me. We've come all the way through this so far, all of the numbers. God willing, once we do that, if we're still here, we'll start on Deuteronomy. But I do plan on finishing this series if we are allowed to be here long enough to go through Deuteronomy. Numbers chapter 35. That's the chapter of my text. But I want to read just a few verses. I'll read seven verses. But I will speak about other things. But these seven verses are kind of central to this chapter of Numbers. Numbers chapter 35, verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities, which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side of Jordan. Remember, they were still on the east side of Jordan at this time. They had not yet moved across Jordan and into Jericho. Ye shall give three cities on this side of Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge for both the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among you, that every one that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. This is a rich chapter. There were several different things I thought about preaching on, but I'm not going to do that. I will mention a few. Maybe pique your interest. Maybe Paul and Joe can deal with some of these things. For example, Moab by Jordan near Jericho. That's the way this starts out. The Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, now that is significant in this sense. Jericho was the first battle that they were to engage in the land.
Yes, that's right.
And the main weapon, Paul, of this battle was going to be what? Trumpets.
Yeah.
Which is indicative of sounding forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sure. But think about it. It is Moab by Jordan near Jericho. Our place by nature before the first battle of gospel conversion is right in Moab.
Yeah, that's right.
Moab is God's washpot. And by nature, at best, that's what we are. God's washpot. But there's a battle to engage in. And all of God's people will cross the River Jordan and engage the battle at Jericho. Not only that, there was the Levites. The tribes of Israel were given specific pieces of land. But the tribe of Levi was not given specific pieces of land. They were given cities. 42 plus 6, which is of course 48, cities with their suburbs. What does this teach us? Many things, of course, but one thing is God's worship is a precise worship. The Levites took care of the worship of God.
Yes, sir.
Whether it be from the high priest that went in and all the only one who was allowed once a year to go into the Holy of Holies, or of other priests who ministered about various and multiplied sacrifices, or whether it was just priests whose job was to set up the tabernacle or take down the tabernacle. In other words, John 4:24, our Lord stated these words to a woman. And he said, God is spirit.
Yes.
They that worship God must.
Amen.
Do we hear that? Do we hear that in here?
Yeah.
They that worship God must worship Him in spirit. That means down in here.
Yeah.
In the immaterial you. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying an amen. There's nothing wrong with being a little excited out here. But the worship of God ain't about out here.
Exactly.
It's in here.
Yeah.
Yes,
they that worship God must worship Him in spirit, but there is one other prerequisite.
Yes, sir.
In truth.
Amen.
Our world is filled with people with various denominations,
yeah.
And most of them think everybody else is probably going to heaven, but we're just probably the best way to get there. Do you know anybody that ever started another denomination because they said, well, I don't know as much as the next guy. And I'm more ignorant than the next guy, so I'm going to start me a denomination that's a little more ignorant. Why do we have our denominations? Because we think what we believe is better than the next guy. Also, six cities of refuge, with three on either side of Jordan. I thought about that. And there's many things we could say about that. And this is one thing I was going to preach on this. And I thought, no, I'll leave that for later, or Paul, or Joe, or whoever. Think about this. Three cities on this side of Jordan. Three cities on that side of Jordan. There is as much salvation before our gospel conversion as there is after. God was saving us as much before we were ever converted as He is after.
Amen.
We were converted. You remember Hosea and Gomer?
Yeah.
Huh? Hosea was taking care of Gomer even when she was down there with her lovers shacked up in that house.
Exactly.
And as Don Fort used to say, at night he'd be bringing in bags of groceries and sitting on the porch for her.
That's right.
Now she was giving credit to her lovers. Oh, they liked me so much. Look what they left for me. But yet it was Hosea. And that's God Almighty. God Almighty. Look how gracious He was to us even before our conversion. Three cities on this side of Jordan. Three cities on that side of Jordan. Now you want me to preach on that this morning, don't you? But I ain't going to do that. Well, maybe I will. But let us concentrate on this. As most of you know, I sent out a text. Christ, the only refuge. Now, yes, there were six cities of refuge. And I'll deal with that a little. But I just want to give you four thoughts. So let's move in. The first thought. Why six cities? Of course, six equals man. Six is the number of man. The number of humanity. Man was created. And we might say man was the crowning glory of God's creation of this universe. And those of us whom God's opened our eyes and our ears and our hearts, we hear that and we think, well, but we're so fallen. But we weren't fallen then.
Exactly.
When God created our mother and father, Eve and Adam, we were good in Him.
Amen.
In that original creation, God looked, and when God had created man and woman, He said it's not only good, but it's very good.
Amen.
Man was this crowning to the creation of this vast universe.
Yes,
I mean, we've got telescopes now that they say look out into way back into the past. I don't know about all that. I don't know about all that. I'm not here to preach about that. But man was created on the sixth day. As a matter of fact, and most people would really like to hear me preach a message on this, the number is called a number of a man. It's called what? 666. One reason I'm not going to preach on that this morning is because I don't know enough to preach on that this morning. But I know it's valid, and I know it's true. Man, or humanity, let me pull the pen and throw it out. Man, or that is humanity, did you know that man or humanity is essential to salvation? God, being strictly considered, is spirit.
Yes, sir.
God cannot die.
Yeah. Amen.
God cannot suffer.
Yeah.
God cannot shed his blood. He had no blood. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, but for a blessed purpose for us believing sinners, that he might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So Christ redeemed somebody. So that they would actually experience the adoption of sons. And the adoption of sons is not like we think of adoption, where you go from one family to another. If you're in the family of God now, if you've been converted by the gospel now, you was in God's family from before the foundation of the world.
Amen. That's right.
But why such a necessity of this humanity? Why this necessity of Christ taking on humanity? You know the passage, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus. How do we see Jesus? By faith.
Amen.
By faith. That's the only way we see Jesus now.
That's right.
But it's by faith in this word.
Yes.
Any Jesus you see that's outside this word is not the Christ of God.
Amen.
Yeah. That's right.
Any Jesus you see that doesn't fit the character, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but the character that is described as the Christ of God, any Jesus you see that is not that Jesus is an imposter.
Amen.
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Preacher, do you really believe that? I do, in its context. There was actually, that's what I told. I didn't go study it all out because, to be honest with you, I didn't care. But I heard there was a whole denomination, because of the way the Greek is there for every man, that the word man's not actually there. There was a whole separate denomination started over argument over that very verse right there. But here's what, four. Now, if you get a four, somebody's about to explain something to you.
Yes, sir.
Right? Four, it became him. It was necessary.
Yes.
It was essential. It was right. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory.
Amen.
That was his purpose. That's the every man that he's talking about there.
Yes, sir.
Jew or Gentile. Bond free, rich, poor, black, white.
Amen.
Doesn't matter. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. So in other words, you've got a sanctifier and sanctified. You do not sanctify yourself.
Amen. Right.
You must be sanctified.
That's it.
And you got to be sanctified before you ever be saved in the traditional sense that most people think of saved. That is, to become a Christian.
Yes.
To be saved. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not proud of us because of who we are.
No.
He's not ashamed to call us brethren because of what he's made us to be.
Amen.
Sanctified us. Saying, and this is from the Old Testament, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Now there's an amazing thing. The word in the Old Testament, if you have a KJV, is translated congregation.
Yeah.
Now, I know I may say a little bit more about this in a moment, but there are those who say, well, there was no church in the Old Testament. That's a lie.
Right.
That's a dispensationalist lie.
Yeah.
Now, the church in the Old Testament was still under the auspices of the Old Covenant.
Yes, sir.
And we can speak about the Old Testament church and the New Testament church, because the New Testament church is no longer under the restraints of that old covenant.
Amen.
But we're still the same one church.
Amen.
Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Will I sing praise unto thee? This is Christ telling the Father he's going to sing praise because of what he's accomplished.
Amen.
And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Humanity is essential to salvation. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you something with these eyes here. And when I look down inside here in the old me, and me, the old man, I don't see that. Do you? I don't see that. But I know it's true because God said so.
Amen.
Now, Max, some other preacher may be able to articulate it and show you that from the Word a whole lot better than me. But I know it's so because God said so.
Amen.
And that's part of believing. You believe His Word because it says so, not because you can put it in A, B, C, D. For as much as the children partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him angels, that is, he did not die for angels.
That's right.
Men argue, you folks say Christ died only for the elect. Well, let me tell you something. Christ did not die for the angels, and right here it tells us that.
Yes, sir.
And the angels are beings that can suffer torments. But you don't hear any man decrying against God because he didn't try to redeem or redeem the angel. Now, do you, Ellen? You hear anybody preaching that?
Nope.
No, because man's so proud of himself. We really think God owes us at least a shot. And God owes us nothing but the fruit of our own ways.
Amen.
For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him what? And here it says it. The seed of Abraham. That's not talking about his Jewish ancestry, though he certainly had to have Jewish ancestry. Who's the seed of Abraham?
Yeah.
Those that believe. The elect. The predestinated. It says right here he died for the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
That's what it's talking about.
Yes, sir.
Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Why? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted.
Amen.
Six cities equals one man.
Yes.
One man.
Amen.
Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12, Peter's clear. There is salvation in no other than in the person and work of Jesus Christ the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be damned till Christ returns. Anathema, Maranatha.
Amen.
Somebody says that's hard. Maybe so. But it's true. But it's true. Second thought. Fleeing to refuge is imperative.
Yes.
Now you hear what I just said. Fleeing to the refuge. Think about this.
Yeah.
These cities. And if you was tossing rocks over a hedgerow, you maybe had your little piece of land fenced in or maybe growed up, you know, trees. And you're tossing rocks over the brush. And you cracked your neighbor in the skull.
Yep.
And you killed him.
Yep.
You didn't mean to do it. But you killed him.
Yep.
And those that are closest to him are going to want vengeance.
Yep.
They're going to want payment. They're going to want blood.
Yep.
Rightfully so. Because whether you meant to or not, you was careless. Should have made sure there was nothing over there.
Exactly.
I remember one time I was mowing the yard. Years ago. And I'll come up and here was a rock. I don't know where it came from. There was a rock in my way. I picked that rock up. There's a little pile of just weeds. It wasn't brush, it was just weeds. And I threw that rock over them weeds. I didn't know. There's a groundhog over there, Joe. And when it hit that thing, I knew there was a groundhog when I hit that thing. It squalled and run, scared me half to death. I thought it done killed somebody. But remember, here it is. Here you've accidentally killed somebody. You could flee to a city of refuge, but you must flee to a city of refuge.
Yes, exactly.
Well, what if God didn't ordain for the avenger to get me? God has ordained for you to be safe in the city of refuge.
Amen.
Not in the city you lived in.
That's right.
But in the city of refuge.
That's right.
Well, I'll just pray. God said, run to the city of refuge. Right. I'm trying to emphasize that fleeing to refuge is imperative.
Yes, sir.
The danger, the reality of whether supposed guilt. Well, I know I'm so guilty and I just pray I'm one of the elect, and I know if I'm one of the elect, they'll be okay. If you're one of the elect, you're going to flee from where you are now, and you're going to flee to the city of refuge. I know this is a fact. I'm not going to mention names because I'm not here to embarrass anybody. There's one individual, and I know this person. They've heard me preach two or three times. I've met them several times. They've got some deep baggage in their past and in their present. And that baggage still hanging on with them. But they were constantly told when they were young, if you're one of the elect, you'll be okay. If you're one of the elect, you'll be okay. And this person, as far as I know, by their testimony to me and to others, has talked to me about this person. They really believe in the grace of God. But they can't flee the baggage. Just can't find it in their power, in their will, in their ability to lay that city down. Family, whatever it is, whatever's in that city, you commit the crime over there, what do? You better flee to the city of refuge.
Amen.
If it means mommy and daddy get left behind, guess what? Mommy and daddy get left behind. Now, do you get the point that this is making here?
Yes, sir.
I hope we do. Just knowing you're guilty is not enough.
There you go.
Now, there's another one. I could have talked about the person here is guilty of murder that intentionally killed somebody. They've got no city of refuge. Now, Joe, you or Paul preach on that one sometime. It's a valid truth. I'll just give you an example. Paul said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. That's kind of a tough one. But it's valid. It's got, there's some reality there, Mac.
Yeah.
But I'm not prepared to preach on that. The second thought is this. Again, what? Fleeing to refuge is imperative. And the writer of Hebrews makes it clear. Hebrews 6, 17 through 20. We have fled for refuge to the hope set before us. And that hope, which is a person, it's Jesus the forerunner, the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That hope is a sure, steadfast anchor of the soul. There is no other city of refuge.
Amen.
There's not six Jesuses. There's only one Jesus.
Amen.
There were six cities of refuge, three on this side of Jordan, three on that, to signify that humanity is absolutely essential in our salvation. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had to be made flesh and be made a curse for us.
Amen.
Or we'd all went to hell. Listen, election and predestination be damned. God is holy and must uphold justice.
Amen.
Flee for refuge. Yeah, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Maybe somebody out there. Maybe somebody here. I don't know. If you flee to something, you've got to be fleeing what? From something.
Amen. That's right.
And let me tell you something. As a believer in Christ, your life will change.
Yes, sir.
You will not be physically perfect, morally perfect, personally righteously perfect. You will not be sinlessly perfect, but you will be different.
Amen.
How you think and how you live will matter to you now.
Yes.
And when you fall flat on your face, you'll be ashamed of it, and it'll eat. We use the phrase, we lie, it'll eat you alive.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to die. Well, maybe you will, maybe you won't. But if you're a believer and you fall flat on your face, you know what I'm talking about, that guilt.
Yes, sir.
That shame. Let me tell you something. Our day and age is a day when everybody's coming out of the closet about everything. Is it not? Bless God, I pray God keeps a lot of my skeletons in my closet.
There you go, sir.
I had an individual one time tell me, well, I'm going to come to church or your place and I'm just going to expose you for everything you are. You don't know the half of it.
There you go. Exactly.
You don't really, you ain't known me but just a little bitty time. You didn't know me way back yonder. I want my skeletons not just to be left in the closet for conscience sake. I need to have my skeletons cleansed by the blood of Christ. And I believe he did that when he died on that tree.
Yes, sir.
Because this book says he died for the ungodly, and I know I am one. And I believe him. In spite of everything else, I still am. I believe him. That's all I can do. Because when I try to do better, I feel guilty about that.
Exactly.
And when I try to do better and don't, I feel guilty about that.
Yeah.
The old phrase is valid. I can't win for losing.
Yeah.
But bless God, the second thought is this. Fleeing to refuge is imperative. And if you flee to the refuge, you got to be fleeing from something else.
Amen.
A salvation that's based upon election and predestination, just dry doctrine ain't enough. God said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What's that mean? Leave where you are and go somewhere else. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Third thought. Initial fleeing is never the whole matter. Did you know that? I look at a couple verses here. Verse 26. Initial fleeing is never the whole matter. Well, I fled to Jesus. You hear? I went forward. I prayed the prayer. I gave my heart to the Lord. I believe the doctrines of grace.
Yep.
Huh? Now, that's, Ellen, that's just as deadly as said, I walked forward and came to the altar.
Right.
It ain't about fleeing to the doctrines of grace. It's about fleeing to him whom the doctrines of grace declare.
Yes.
It's fleeing to the person.
Amen.
It's fleeing to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Look, verse 26. But if the slayer... That's the person, the manslayer now, the man, person is guilty of manslaughter.
Yeah.
Not the one who murdered outright, not the premeditated murder. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he, that is the avenger, shall not be guilty of blood.
That's right.
Because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest, but after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession.
Amen.
You can't get in and get out. And get in and get out.
Exactly.
And get in and get out. Colossians chapter 1 is clear in verse 20, 21, 22, and 23. And Hebrews is clear in Hebrews 6, verses 4, 5, and 6. Now, I want to be doctrinally accurate, but I don't want to try to phrase it in such a doctrinally accurate way that it's nothing but just a dry doctrine. Those that God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world are safe. But God also chose that they flee to the city of refuge.
Yes.
And that they stay there.
Amen. Exactly.
And Colossians 1, 20, 21, 22, 23 says, Christ died for you and reconciled you.
Yes, sir.
You who were enemies in your mind and by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. But then it uses this caveat. If ye continue in the faith.
That's right. Amen.
And then people, would you believe a man could be saved and lost? I believe there's a lot of people that's been saved. And then they flee the city of refuge.
Yeah.
Hebrews 6 talks about some folks that had some kind of experience. Let me just read it. Now, it's one of those passages. I don't really think it's difficult. I just think we preachers love to sound like we really deep. Got a hold of something. Look at it, Hebrews chapter 6. Let's read it. This is a group of people. Verse 3, and this we will do if God permit. Verse 4, for it is impossible. And let me just go down to the next phrase. The rest of it is explaining up to this point. Look at verse 4. For it is impossible, verse 6, if they shall fall away, that means to apostatize.
Yes, sir.
To renew them again unto repentance, it's impossible to do it. See that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Let me tell you something. You profess to believe the truth of God, and you turn your back on it, a proverb has happened to you. The sow that was washed has turned to her wallowing in the mire.
Yeah.
Somebody, preacher, you talk about, I thought you believed in once saved, always saved. If God saves you,
Amen. If
God forces you in mercy and grace to run to the city of refuge, you'll know God did it and you ain't going to leave them. I'm staying right here.
Exactly right.
Now, yeah, find out a little bit of your liberty. I know, you might go and stick an arm out. Yeah, stick a leg out. Huh? And now we do this, not everybody, not all of God's people, but some of us, we find out all of a sudden we got liberty in Christ, and whoo, we push it right as far as we can. You ever done that? You ever been there?
Yes.
But God'll make sure the real you's inside.
Yes, sir.
If he really died for you. But let me tell you something. I don't care what you profess. I don't care. Look, they've evidently experienced repentance. Look what else. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and of the powers of the world to come. If they fall away, they're goners.
That's it.
You see that?
Amen.
I don't care what you've went through. If you leave Christ, you are in danger.
Yes, sir.
You don't get to come in and out. Once you flee to the city of refuge, you don't get to sneak out at night. You got to stay there.
Amen.
Well, preacher, you're putting this all on you're saying it's all man's power. No, I'm not saying you ain't got the power. There's still that within you that wants to go back home to mommy and daddy. There's still that was within you. Said, boy, I'd love to be over there in the nightlife over yonder. And this city of refuge is boring sometimes. Don't it get boring sometimes? Until God opens your eyes afresh and your ears afresh and your heart afresh and you read about Jesus Christ and you say, thank God I'm still in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So what I'm telling you is God's word is true. God has a people and God's going to save those people. But you can't skip one of God's parts. You can't run to the city of refuge and then run out every little bit when you want to and do what you want, live like you want, believe what you want to believe, eat what you want to drink, wear what you want to wear, you know, eat what you want to eat, drink what you want. It ain't about you. It's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. So again, the third thought, initial fleeing is never the whole matter. Don't look back to what happened to you yesterday. Though that's certainly valid to remember. But ask yourself, what is happening to me today? Because even if you was wrong yesterday, if you fled to the city of refuge today, maybe you don't even understand this was really the first day you really fled.
There you go.
Maybe you thought you fled yesterday, but you didn't. But bless God if you really fled today. If that was a work of God, you'll stay there.
Amen.
You'll stay there. That's why Paul said, I'm forgetting those things are behind. Yes, Paul on several occasions recounted his conversion. But he was constantly this, that I might win Christ. And you look at all that, Philippians 3, ain't it? That's all in the present tense.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday's gone. You can't do nothing about it. Have you ever wondered, did I really know God back then? It don't matter if you know him right now. Well, maybe I ought to be baptized. Maybe you ought to. Maybe that you have back there wasn't valid. But that itself, you can figure that out. Seek God's face on it. But you better flee to Christ. Well, have I really been devoted to the brothers and sisters at chapel? Was I really that devoted yesterday? Don't worry about yesterday. You can't do nothing about yesterday.
Exactly.
Are you in the city of refuge today?
Amen.
And if you flee... Now, some people may not like, if you flee, you better not ever leave.
That's right.
You better not ever leave. Fourth thought. Let me give you. Here's a third thought. Let me summarize that third one. Only those initially in and stay in are safe. And that's just what this book teaches.
Yeah.
Christ said, Matthew 24, 8 through 13, and one verse he says, but they, the love of many shall what? Wax cold. So evidently, so you have some love for a while. And this ain't nothing but general. This is about love of God's people. But it'll wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, not be enduring at the end, not running out and taking your chances, and maybe the avenger won't get me. No, you flee to the city, bless God, you stay there. Now you may fall flat on your face, but you fall flat on your face in that city. In Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But he that shall endure unto the end, unto the end, the same shall be saved. Number four, any manslayer versus a murderer. Any manslayer. Now versus a murderer, but I'm not talking about the murderers. Any manslayer has hope of inclusion in this refuge. Do they not? Well, you got to be an Israelite. That's true. But remember, even here, here's thought about Israelite. I mean, your daddy was a Jew. Your mama was a Jew, right? Your daddy was an Israelite. And you got your genealogy. Moses was writing it all down. They're having people write their genealogies down. They kept it in the temple for years. The genealogies of the Jews. It was destroyed in 70 A.D. But these were Israelite. But look at what it says. Let me find it. Verse 15, these six cities shall be a refuge, both for the children of Israel and for the stranger. You see that? And for the sojourner among you, that every one that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. You say, well, preacher, I just the election, predestined, that stuff boggles my mind. How do I know if I'm, how do I know if I flee? Maybe if I flee to Christ, maybe I'm still not one of the elect. If you can make it to the city, you're safe.
Amen.
Yes or no?
That's it. Yeah.
If you flee to the city, you're safe.
Yeah.
If you stay there.
Yeah.
To the end. See? No sinner is better than any other sinner. None.
Right.
Paul said, Jew or Gentile, we proved. Paul said, I don't argue this. I just declared. We proved before, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. There's not one righteous. No, not one. There's no one that understands. Don't fall into the trap of this dispensational thing to where God's got two kinds of people. One's Jews. He worked with the Jews up until the coming of the Messiah. Since the Jews rejected the Messiah, then God had this, it don't matter how they say it, but it's an alternative plan. And now he's saving a few Jews and a bunch of Gentiles. And then once that's done, then he's going to go back to the Jews again, start kind of where he left off. That's basic dispensationalism. And it's a lie. The New Testament church is not a gap. It is God doing exactly what God purposed to do. And right, even right here, even back then, he said, you've got a stranger in your land. He accidentally kills somebody. He can run to the city of refuge.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if he runs and stays there, he's safe until the high priest dies. Well, wait a minute. Bless God. Our city of refuge, our high priest, never dies. He died once, but he lives. He's still alive. Somebody says, explain that. It's called resurrection. It's that simple. I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. You just believe it. I've never seen a resurrection. Have you? I'm talking about a physical. He physically really died. And on the third day, our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, was raised from the dead. And he who died to establish or ratify the covenant lives to make sure the covenant will stand.
Amen.
That's like me willing certain things to give to Joe and Penny and two or three of you here. And I will. I want this and I want this. When I die, this goes to that one and this goes to that one. And when you die, there ain't a lick of the thing you can do in the world about it, is there? Because the lawyers and the people who are greedy are going to fight no matter what. You know, and what you will may happen. But what if I was able to come back to life and say, all right, bless God I died to ratify it. Now, that's going to so-and-so, and that's going to so-and-so, and that's going to so-and-so, because I'm going to walk over and hand it to them.
There you go.
I'm going to sign the papers, Ellen. My property goes to you. You see, our Lord has a will and testament.
Yes, sir.
And he died to ratify it. But bless God, he lives to see that it's carried out.
Amen.
But you still stay in the city of refuge. Here's the question. Can you and will you flee? Will you or can you flee to Christ? Somebody says, which comes first? I don't know.
Yeah.
It just don't matter. Because if you can, if you really can, you will. And if you really will, you can. Then do so. Stay where you're at. I don't care how much doctrine you know. I don't care how guilty you feel. I don't care how bad you feel about yourself. Stay where you are, you'll perish.
Yeah.
Run to Christ. But when you run to Christ, never leave him.
Amen.
Never leave him.
Yeah.
I'm done preaching.